Be in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up where we left off last week, but overlapping a bit to give us context. Our passage this morning really is just verse 23, but we'll read the passage around it so that we remember the context that we started last week. So Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now join me as we say our theme verse, which is this passage as well. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now that has been our theme throughout the book of Hebrews. We'll look at the first half of that theme. Today we'll look at the, Lord willing, look at the second half next week. Jesus is greater. We've seen through the book of Hebrews how in so many ways that is true. And I love the way this book is laid out. And I mean, it was inspired of God, so we should stand in awe as to how God designs things. But the reality is he's not greater just because we need to know that he's greater than Moses, or he's greater than angels, or he's greater than the priests. There's a reason for us to know that. It's that we would live it out. And we're seeing more and more application from our writer as we progress through the book. This week, the sermon is entitled, Let Us Cling to Truth. We need truth. Don't we? More than any time in history, we have access to information, but surfing through an ocean of information to find a teacup of truth can be so hard, can't it? We need truth. It's very easy to be influenced by falsehood, whether that's falsehood coming from someone else, from some external source, or whether it's just from within, that somehow we have forgotten the truth, or we have somehow twisted the truth or neglected the truth to where we even inadvertently start believing a lie. It's very easy to be influenced by falsehood from the truth, and therefore we could lose hope. As the writer has a pattern of doing, this subject of clinging to truth is not new. He has a habit of foreshadowing different topics that he's going to dig into deeper later. And that's really part of the benefit of studying an entire book together, verse by verse, rather than jumping around. I'm not saying that it's wrong for a pastor to each week determine this is the passage for this Sunday, and then next week move on to another passage in another place. But there's a distinct benefit in taking an entire book, like the book of Hebrews, and spending however long it takes to get through it, is because we see these patterns emerge that we might miss if we're taking it just one passage here and one passage there. We get to see that these points that are being made are actually woven into a greater argument and a stronger argument as the book unfolds. And here are some of the verses that we've already looked at that are pointing to our subject matter today. Here's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. If indeed we hold fast that confidence in our boasting and our hope. A few verses later, Hebrews chapter 3, 14. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence to the end. Do you hear the similarities, that clinging, that hanging on to the confidence, the hope that Christ has given us? Here's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Again, making the argument that because of who Jesus is, let's hang on to what we believe. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting him. Now that's worded differently. It doesn't say cling or hold on. It doesn't say confidence or hope. But the same concept is there. In fact, if we were to take all the verses that actually have this same theme in it, it would take much longer for us to read through all of them. And these were just the ones that we've looked at so far. There are several afterwards as well that give us the hint that this is a theme that's all the way through the book. There's a lot of foundation the writer has already given us about clinging to the truth. Now, actually, none of the verses I read did it say cling to truth, did it? Yet the concept is there. That's not really a leap. It's there. Our confidence is based on what? On the truth of God's word. Our boasting and hope is not based on something that wavers. It's based on the unchanging word of God. Our confession, what we believe, is not based on feelings, but it is based on facts. It's based on the fact of Jesus' resurrection. It's based on the promises of God. They're all based on truth. In today's verse 23 of chapter 10, we'll see the connection of Christ's sacrifice and why we can cling to truth. So last week, the first of our let us commands, we looked at worship, that we are fully equipped to worship. Let us draw near to him. Today, we are looking at truth, clinging to truth. And so our big idea this morning is we are fully equipped to live by faith. We are fully equipped to live by faith. So why use the word faith instead of truth or confession or something like that? Well, I'll get to that in a moment. But before we do, let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, we do believe that your word is true. If your word were not true, there would be no hope for us, and there would certainly be no reason for us to be here today. And yet, the evidence that your word is true is overwhelming. With so many promises from the Old Testament that have been fulfilled, there is no logical reason to disregard the promises that are yet to be fulfilled. And because of that, we can have great hope. So, Father, guide our thoughts as we look into your word this morning. Help us to be one whose lives are characterized by hanging on to the truth of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to camp out on verse 23 today. The first thing we're going to see from verse 23 is that we are to persevere in doctrine. Now, if that word persevere is too hard for you to write down, just say, hold on, stay tight with doctrine, however you want to word it. Just keep the doctrine. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. A short phrase, but a very loaded one. So let's break it down. Let us hold fast. The unfortunate thing of looking for synonyms in a dictionary, especially when that dictionary is online, is when it's a two-word word. Hold fast, because I don't want to know about hold, and I don't want to know about fast. I want to know about hold fast. Well, it is possible to find two-word phrases and synonyms online, and here are some of those synonyms, not cinnamon. That's different. Cling, clutch, grasp, embrace. Here's my favorite one. Hang on for dear life. It's a good one. Excuse me. We get the idea, don't we? synonyms are easy enough. Hang on to the confession of your hope. Understanding what it says is not nearly as difficult as understanding why it says what it says. Why are we to hold on to this confession of our hope? Well, perhaps the answer is obvious. We're told to hold on because it's so easy to let go, right? If it were just natural for us to hang on tight to the truth of the Word of God, we wouldn't have to have so many times be reminded, even just in the book of Hebrews, to hold on to the truth, hold on to the confession of our hope. Peter, what did he do? He stepped out of the boat in faith while Jesus was walking on the water, and he stood there on the water, he walked on the water, and then what happened? See, as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, as his hope was firmly found in Jesus, he stood on water. You're not supposed to be able to do that. But once he got distracted by the wind and the waves around him, he sank. Now, in Peter's defense, he got out of the boat. None of his friends in the boat did. He had enough faith to step out onto the water, but that faith, though real, was very quickly shaken. Another apostle was Thomas. He spent years with Jesus, witnessing all sorts of miracles. In fact, the Gospel of John, part of its intent is to lay out some of the miracles of Jesus so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. Awana kids, you had that verse. Like, if it wasn't this past week, it was very recently. Those miracles were there that we might believe. And even in the Gospel of John, he said that there's so many more that Jesus did that aren't written. Thomas saw all sorts of miracles that would just boggle the mind that someone could see those miracles and then doubt later. Because remember, in fact, he was so invested with Jesus that when it was near a festival time, and Jesus and his disciples were going to go into the area of Jerusalem to mourn Lazarus's death, and they knew it would be dangerous. They knew that the religious leaders were looking for Jesus because they wanted to put him to death. They knew it would be dangerous, and Thomas, when hearing, okay, we're going to this area, he said, well, let's just go and die with him. He wasn't really being Eeyore at that time. You know what I mean by Eeyore? Some of you kids don't. You need to watch Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore was kind of the down in the dumps, grumpy guy. Not really grumpy, just everything that could happen bad is going to happen. And that wasn't Thomas, but he kind of sounded like that in this moment. Let's just go and die with him. He was so confident in Jesus that he would be willing to follow him to death. But yet, fast forward even further, and when Jesus does die, and he hears from the 10 disciples and or the 10 apostles and other disciples who actually saw Jesus after his resurrection, even though he heard from them that, yes, Jesus is alive, what did he say? He said, unless I put my hand in his side, my fingers in his wounds, I'm not going to believe. He had convincing evidence of the truth, but he did not hold fast to it. He did not cling to it. Until he saw Jesus. He had faith, but it was shaken. Not unlike Peter. And not unlike what is very possible with you or me. We could very easily have our faith shaken. We need to be convinced to intentionally cling to the truth, or we will inevitably believe a lie. We will. In fact, just a few verses later, we won't get to that next week, but Lord willing, after Thanksgiving, we will, maybe it's in December, I don't know, I don't have the calendar in front of me. We're going to look at verse 32 eventually. We will eventually get to verse 32. And in verse 32 and following, the writer recalls for us many hardships that believers did face, and yet they did not have their faith shaken, and he's encouraging the church to continue to maintain the faith. That's why he's laying that groundwork for us here. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold fast to cling. Hang on to as for dear life. Hold fast that confession of our hope. Now, pretty much every time I come to the word hope in Scripture, I take a little time to define it, and I'm not apologizing for that. I think it's very important that we understand that hope is not a fleeting feeling, not scriptural hope. Hope in the biblical sense is not an emotional-based feeling on some expected positive outcome. It is an assured confidence of an expected positive outcome. There's a great big difference there, isn't it? Me just desiring something good to happen versus me desiring it and knowing that it will happen. Very different. The biblical concept of hope is confidence in a positive future outcome as promised by God. Not a future outcome that we're convinced is true because we've talked ourselves into it. It's a positive outcome that has been promised by God. So the believer's hope is the confident expectation that God has washed away our sin and therefore will provide eternal life in an eternal body in a perfect place. Doesn't that sound great? The eternal kingdom ruled by the eternal Son of God. We would love it to have a political leader that we could trust never actually tells a lie. Wouldn't that be great? And yet we have a future kingdom where not only does the ruler never lie, he has all power, he has all authority of all things, and he's good. He gives us all that we need. What a wonderful, wonderful promise, and therefore hope for the believer. Now let's keep track of what this verse actually says. It does not say, let us hold fast to our hope, right? It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Here's the New Living Translation. Means the same thing, worded just a little bit differently. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Isn't that beautiful? Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. That which we affirm is our confession. To confess something is to state what we know to be true, what we believe to be true. So the confession of our hope would be the details of what we believe to be true about the future outcome that God has provided for us. Not just provided, promised for us. So let us hold fast to the truth that Jesus died as our sacrifice. Let us hold fast to the truth that Jesus didn't stay dead, that he rose from the grave. That's why we gather together on Sunday instead of Saturday. Hold fast to the truth that we are saved by grace through faith. Not by grace through believing plus works. No, by grace we are saved through faith. Not because of any action that we could do. Hold fast to the truth that Jesus has promised to all who believe, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a great promise to cling to. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That phrase without wavering reinforces the holding fast, the hold on for dear life, and it might seem a bit redundant, but I would say not necessarily so. Hold fast without wavering. That without wavering is simply an emphasis to our command that we hang on. Hang on and keep hanging on. Don't even loosen your grip. Hang on to the truth, because if you don't, you will inevitably fall into the opposite of hope. What's the opposite of hope? How about hopelessness or despair or discouragement or anxiety or pessimism, doubt? There's one word that I think would summarize all of these antonyms, the opposites of hope, and I would say that would be fear. Fear. Doubt is the fear that what should be true isn't. Pessimism is the fear that the worst of the possible outcomes is actually going to happen. How often does that actually happen? Here's the thing, it only had to happen once, and then we could easily become a pessimist, right? Where we always think the worst possible outcome is going to happen. Anxiety is simply the fear of what's going to happen next. Hopelessness and despair, all of these things, all these antonyms of hope, they all have their root in fear of some sort, don't they? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because to hold our confession loosely is to succumb to fear. And we read it because it was part of the context. It's what we looked at last week, but let's not forget the foundation that we've laid for this verse in verses 19 through 21, that foundation of Jesus, that his sacrifice, that his priesthood, and not just the foundation of verses 19 through 21, but even the previous chapter or so, how he is our high priest, our greater priest. He's the one who has sacrificed on our behalf, that once for all sacrifice. Because of this foundation of Jesus and his sacrifice and the access to God that we have, that's what we looked at last week, that access to draw near to God because we are now clean, because we are cleansed by his blood. This context gives us the means to hold tightly to our confession of hope. That would be the previous context. It's also helpful to look to the upcoming context, chapter 11. The writer is setting the stage for that most famous chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Here's Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's always nice when the writer of Scripture gives us the actual definition of a word. That's what he's doing here in chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is, and he defines it, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, we're going to dig into this verse more when we get there. But for now, I want you to see the connection of faith and confidence and hope. Those terms are all interrelated, and confidence is a theme in today's passage as rooted in verse 19, that we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. In chapter 11, verse 1, confidence is expressed by the word assurance, this assurance of things hoped for. As we said earlier, hope in God is not a wishy-washy thing. It's a confidence in an expected future as promised by God. So if we are holding fast the confession of our hope, that which is summarized in the word faith, looking at chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Then holding fast to the confession of our hope really is faith. That's what faith is. That's faith being worked out in our lives. In other words, the writer of Hebrews could have condensed what he's attempting to communicate in the first half of Hebrews 19, verse 23, by saying, have faith. He could have. Why use more or different words? Well, again, he's setting the stage for chapter 11. So he could have said, have faith, but rather he said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, he tells us that really that's what faith looks like. Holding fast to what we know to be true as promised by God. So that's the past context of verse 19 through 21. That's the future context of chapter 11, that great hall of faith. And knowing that that's where we've been and that's where we're going helps make sense of why I chose to word our big idea like this. We are fully equipped to live by faith, even though the word faith doesn't appear in this verse. I mean, it does, but not in that sense. We are to persevere in doctrine, and we are to persevere like Christ. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We are equipped to live by faith by the sacrifice made by Jesus, our high priest. We are equipped by the Son, and we are reassured in our confession by the character of the Father. We are equipped because Jesus died for us. We are assured because God is faithful. Moses wrote in the book of Numbers, Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? If God says it, you can count on it. It's as good as done. All he says, he does. He's faithful in all things for all time. In fact, should he ever not keep even a tiny portion of what he has said, he would cease to be God. God cannot be God if he's a liar. God cannot be God if he is unfaithful. He cannot break his word. For he who promised is faithful. John 3:36 starts out like this. Whoever has the Son has life. Actually, it's whoever believes. It's 1 John that's whoever has the Son. John 3:36. For whoever believes in the Son has life. Not whoever believes in the Son might have life, or whoever believes in the Son has life until they mess up again. Whoever believes in the Son has life. So believe in Jesus means you have eternal life. God is faithful to keep that promise to you. So don't lose faith. He is faithful. Don't give up. Don't let go of the truth. Don't let go of your hope because he is faithful to you. Don't let the good expected future that God has promised you fall to the wayside because we simply have neglected to remember that God is faithful. Because we have simply neglected to remember that his sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus, has taken away our sin and provided for us life. We are fully equipped to live by faith. We are. We have what we need. We have the Word of God. As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. We have the church, the body of Christ on earth, where we gather together to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, so that we might not lose hope. Remember all those antonyms, hopelessness, despair, anxiety, fear, all those things? How prevalent are all those things in our world? We have everything we need to hang on tightly to the truth of the gospel. We have the one true priest who fulfilled the picture of what all the Old Testament priests were doing. He fulfilled it with his one sacrifice. We have the one true sacrifice that was foretold by all the Old Testament sacrifices, that blood that was constantly flowing because sacrifices were constantly being made. Jesus' one true sacrifice fulfills them all. Our priest serves in the true tabernacle. We looked at that recently. In the very presence of God, as foreshadowed by the tabernacle that Moses built. So that we, as God's people on this side of the cross, have free access to God. We don't go through some other priest. Jesus is our access. We have the faithful God who promises us our eternal security. We have everything we need to live by faith. So hang on. Don't start doubting the truth that Jesus died so that you might have life. Don't start doubting that. Keep believing that God will fulfill his promises to you. We live in a world that promotes fear. We don't need to live in fear. In fact, we need to not live in fear. It doesn't mean that all of life will be easy. It won't. Pains will come. Loss will occur. But our hope is not in this world alone, is it? Our hope is an eternal hope promised by the unchanging eternal God, and that we can rest in. Let's pray. Father, help us to hold tightly to the truth in which we have our hope rooted. The truth that Jesus is God the Son who died for us, and that coming to him in faith, we have our sins removed. And so the God of creation will look at us and see that we have been made clean, and he will keep us forever. So, Father, when pains do come, when we have an injury, or we have a cancer diagnosis, or we lose a loved one, or we lose our job, or whatever bad thing that just the world keeps producing, whatever bad thing happens to us, help us to not lose hope. Help us to live for you. Help us to hold tightly to the confession of our hope, because God is faithful. So, Father, when we do enter times of distress and discouragement, remind us with this truth that you are faithful and we can cling to the truth of your word. Lord, we want to live as your people. We want to encourage one another. We want to live as a light to a dark world around us. So, Father, help us to do so as we cling to your truth. In Jesus' name. We'll close in a song.
Let's sing Standing on the Promises.